The word treason is hardly used on the media landscape of the country. Its real meaning and the implications for committing a treasonable offense seem to have escaped many Ghanaians. We have on the line a legal practitioner, Sir Kwaju, to throw more light on the term, considering the treasonable charge brought against MP for Aseng North, Kennedy Ejapon. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so can you tell us what constitutes a treasonable offense?
A treasonable offense has been defined in both the constitution and the criminal code. So in many cases, when you are looking at this particular issue, you have to read the two documents together. But it looks as if the criminal code takes word for word what perhaps can be found in the constitution. Now we have about two kinds. We have the high treason and then treason proper. Now, Article 3.3 of the Constitution says that any person who by himself or in concert with others by any violent or other unlawful means suspends or overthrows or abrogates this Constitution or any part of it or attempts to do any such act or aids and abets in any manner any person referred to in paragraph A above and commits the offense, that person commits the offense of high treason and shall upon conviction be sentenced to death. So what high treason means is that if you go with it to violently overthrow a government or this constitution by unlawful means, you commit that act of high treason. Now, treason, that is Article 1917, says it shall only consist of A. Lodging war against Ghana or assisting any state or person or inciting or conspiring with any person to levy war against Ghana. B. Attempting by force of arms or other violent means to overthrow the organs of government established by this constitution. And then C. Taking part or being part of or inciting or conspiring with any person to make or take part in an attempt to use force of arms to violently overthrow the government. So this is treason. Now, at the moment, I don't know which of these articles Kennedy Ejapon is being charged under, but if it is treason, then there is a burden on the prosecution to make sure that they are able to marshal evidence to support whatever has been stated in this article. And in criminal cases, he who says that somebody has committed a crime must first try as much as possible to see if he can satisfy all the ingredients that constitute the term called treason.
Right. Let me ask you this question. Shedding any political attachments, I'm sure you may have listened to Mr. Ejapon's statement. Will you say his statement is treasonable?
Personally, I think it is not. I see a situation where somebody who is filled with political passion and sentiment decides to go overboard and loosely says such things that we are told Kennedy Ejapon has said. For instance, that you have to beat other tribes and so on and so forth. So I see more of it as somebody who has, let us come under Section 208 of this criminal code, which is causing fear and panic. I think that one will even be better than what we have now, because it will be difficult under these circumstances to be able to satisfy all the demands that the Constitution has made to ground a case of treason against Kennedy Ejapon. But as I heard my brother say, I think there's another aspect of it too, if I should speak as a social scientist. You see, as an MP, you see, we see you to be somebody who is measured and who is balanced and who will not talk loosely. So if we get an MP, a member of parliament, talking like this, it gives a lot of cause to worry about, you see. And so I expect, for instance, for now, to get the, for us to get the committee that deals with MPs who are a bit aberrant, who go wayward. to look at this issue and then to see if perhaps some kind of sanction can be brought against Kennedy Ejiofor. And again, you see, what he has done has some historical antecedents. You remember the one-party state arrangement that we had? In that one-party state arrangement, power and the media communication were all centered at one point. Because the reason they gave was that if you don't know, and we multiply these centers of communication.
Right, Mr.
We now have Dr. Ken Ahosu on the line to help us look at the NPP's disassociation of the statement made by Mr. Ken Ejiofor. We want to find out the implications, the MPP's condemnation of Ken Ejiofor's statement.
It's a step in a very right direction because the statements by Ken Ejiofor are very unfortunate and they are unwarranted, very defeatist and very dangerous. In the sense that if you look at what happened in Ododiodo, or the Jojo, or whatever it's called. There have been a number of skirmishes all across the country. The biggest problem is that the NPP, probably for wrong reason, has been regarded as an Akan party or an Ashanti party. But from 2008 elections, their vote in the Volta region, in particular, has risen up. So the main concern is that if such a statement comes out, let's forget about the violence. How can people who are members of the NPP in the Volta region go about campaigning and calling on what it is to vote for the NPP? So it was a shot in their own foot by the statement that Ken Ejiofor made. So from that perspective, I find it very, very unfortunate that big week, even their running mate was at the police headquarters. And the question somebody will ask is that if guns are to be attacked, if areas are to be attacked because of politics, then what will happen to Nordnet? So I think that it's a very wise thing. It's a good thing that the NPP has done to disassociate itself from Ken Ejiofor's statement. They should do more than what they have just done and apologize to the whole Ghanaian public. Because our constitution abhors any form of tribalism or ethnocentrism in our political discourse and political dispensation. So I think it's the right step. But they have to do more as to win people back. A lot of people are discouraged by what happened. Not in any way that they condone the violence that is going on during the registration. I think people have spoken several times. For example, let's just look at who is Obichebe Lampe Isega, Professor Michael Kwe Isega. These are big wigs in the NPP. So if there is a blanket or a carte blanche or general statement that guns should be attacked or something like that, and the person speaking is not an ordinary man, he's an industrialist, he has an FM station, he has a TV station, and a number of business organizations that people are working for him. And more than that, this is an MP representing people in parliament. So when he speaks, this carries weight. And people may want to please him by carrying what he has said to the letter. And that will forebode violence for the country. So the statement is very unfortunate. But as I said, it's a step in the right direction that the NPP has taken. They must come out very strongly and condemn what he has done. Because NPP, as far as I know, is a national party and not a regional party.
With this statement coming at the backdrop of all die be die, would it have any impact on the campaign the MPP have made so far?
Unfortunately so. That is what is manifesting or what is appearing to be the case. So when you look at the trend of events, it's rather unfortunate. Whatever all die be die meant, it's like it is the same thread or the same beat that is being beaten, the footpath that is being beaten. So I think as much as the NPP might have been aggrieved by the violence in Ododiodio, I think that they have to reorganize themselves. They have to reassure the Ghanaian people that they are the true democrats and they believe in the rule of law and the institutions. You know, I am particularly surprised because the NPP has taken almost all institutions in Ghana to court and they have won loudly on so many occasions. So I was expecting that we should all allow the rule of law as to take its course, because that is what democracy means. It means allowing institutions and organizations to do the right thing, because the constitution delineates what they can do and what they cannot do, and when they are wrong, they must be taken to court. The rule of law must be applied. So I think that an unfortunate impression has been created, has been made. So I think the NPP has to do more and to redeem its image. Though Ajepong was not speaking for them, he is such a public figure that the party cannot be dissociated from what he has said.
So do you think that the condemnation of the utterances of Mr. Ajepong by the NPP would lessen or relax the tension, perceived tension around?
I think even before the arrest, you would notice that the two parties in the Diodio have met and they have somehow smoked the peace pipe. So the good thing about Ghana's constitution and our democratic dispensation is that not that we don't have conflict like other countries have, but whenever issues boil up, there are institutions that call people to order. So I think that what has to be done is not only the NPP, but the NDC, the National Peace Council, the various peace organizations in the country, Council of State, and all that clamor for peace and work for peace should call on Ghanaians to redouble their steps and settle issues calmly and avoid any form of violence.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Osu. It's been very insightful talking to you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
The Forum for Governance and Justice has joined other civil society organizations in condemning ethnocentric comments made by MP for Asennos Kennedy Ajepong. The forum is asking the National Communication Authority to consider the revocation of the licenses of radio stations which incite people to violence. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the convener of the forum, Clement Apak, said Ghanaians must reject the promotion of violence by any persons or entities who seek to promote hate speech and incite violence.
We look at what has gone on in other parts of Africa, particularly in Rwanda, where radio and the airwaves were used to incite one group of people against the other. And so we believe that all well-meaning Ghanaians must condemn this statement in its entirety. There is no basis for anyone to try and justify the very ethnic and divisive comments made by the Honorable Kennedy Ajepong.
Your statement asked the NMC to revoke the license of radio stations which incite people to violence. Are you not killing an insect with a sledgehammer?
Certainly not. What we have to do is to learn from what has happened in other parts of Africa. Clearly, everyone who has studied recent events in Africa would understand that the Rwandan genocide was one of the most appalling exhibitions of human behavior that the world has witnessed. And the truth is also clear based on research and reports that radio stations were used as a basis to fan the flames of ethnic division, which served as a basis for the conflict that ensued, resulting in the demise of close to 1 million people in less than 100 days. So it is only best for us to be preemptive in asking the authorizing institution to seriously consider the revocation of licenses awarded to radio stations which are developing the worrying tendency of allowing their airwaves to be used to incite violence and to mobilize people intended for disruptive purposes. And I think that we should not be apologetic. It is the national interest and the national peace that is at stake. And it should apply evenly to all radio stations.
Dr. Park, objectively, do you think revocation of the license of a radio station that incites violence will bring an end to violence in the country?
Most definitely. I mean, think about it. Radio is still the most extensive and widespread media platform in the world, regardless of television and then the presence of the internet. Radio goes far.
Mr. Ajepong made a statement based on previous happenings. Do you think if the police had acted on those accusations made by Kennedy Ajepong or the NPP, would this have happened?
That is where I disagree with most who have tried to justify the statement he made. We don't have any evidence to show that truly people were being prevented from Ododo Diodio to register based on their ethnic origin. What we know is that there was a challenge to the eligibility of some people who dared to register, not physically being prevented, but they were being asked to go and come back later for their cards after the complaints that were filed against those individuals had been investigated. But this is no basis for somebody to declare war and ask one ethnic group to beat up people from another ethnic group should they come to their shops and to maim them. This is simply not something that should be tolerated, particularly coming from somebody who has sworn an oath to serve the nation.
Convener of the Forum for Governance and Justice, Clement Apak, talking to Brighton Trauma.
Supporters of the MP for Ascend North, Kennedy Ajapon, have gathered at the Ajabin Court in Accra. They are chanting and drumming and insist they will not leave the court premises until they know what is happening. Our correspondent Beatrice Upon reports that the supporters are clad in red clothes. We now have her on the line to tell us more. You're welcome, Beatrice.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what is happening now?
Okay, currently, we just received information that Mr. Japon has been sent to the Ajabin Court. Initially, we all had the Supreme Court fast-track was waiting for him. But I just received information, so we are pulling up at the Ajabin Court.
Yeah, because you have your ears on the ground. What are people saying? Is he likely to be granted bail?
Well, people are saying, because others have said it, they've been left off the hook. They don't see why he should be taken. Then all people are just, they are giving so many sources. Even the President Asamo said Ghana was going to be like Kenya. So they are making all those references.
Are there any instances of violence?
There hasn't been any. The police are controlling the crowd.
Right, thank you very much. That was our reporter, Beatrice Upon, reporting from the Ajabin Court in Accra. The culture of insults and insightful speeches which is being perpetrated by leading members of the NDC and the MPP seems not to have come to an end. The development, according to some political commentators, could have serious consequences on Ghana's fledgling democracy. We have on the line pollster and managing editor of the Daily Dispatch newspaper, Ben Efson, to tell us how this rising trend could be curtailed. Yeah, Mr. Efson, do you seem to have an antidote to the rising spate of insults and hate speeches in our body politics? Could you share it with us?
Well, thank you very much. You know, for some time, in 2007, the U.S. government presented, I think, 7 or 8 top FM stations across the country free of charge a delay system. What the delay system does is to give you the presenter opportunity to cut out, delete insults that are said by panelists in the studio or those who phone in. The U.S., where we all aspire to be in terms of democratic processes, you can't do a live program on TV or radio without a delay system.
Right. So, but why is the trend specifically restricted to the NDC and the MPP?
I think that the two main parties who have a chance of winning. And most of these trends, I believe that these are political. I mean, there could be other reckless statements in other spheres of life which could just spark the already latent tensions in the country. I mean, the parliament should put its foot down and just pass an error as soon as they resume. If you do not have a delay system, you don't engage in live programs. It's as simple as that. Are you waiting for Sam to meet the Gary before we start biting our fingernails that had we known?
Yeah, but do you think we have enough political will to push through this submission that you put across?
Well, they have a choice. And you should bear in mind, whenever there's a breakdown in law and order, the MP should be the first target before they come to other journalists. So if, I mean, you see, I have a funny feeling that they don't show the politicians, some of these shakers who come on air. I'm not saying shakers alone are the problem, because you have panelists in the studio or owners of media outlets who phone in and insult people and raise tension. And most of the shakers, for both NDC and MPP, they live off being paid to insult people. This is not the political will. You should look at Cote d'Ivoire. Somebody has told the people of Ivory Coast, the Ivorians, 10 years ago, that you are going to have serious problems for 5 years, Cote d'Ivoire will never get to where they were before the war. So we should just start, use this opportunity. If you allow your station to be used in that manner, your license is taken. We don't have a delay system, you will not operate a live phone-in program. And the delay system also gives the opportunity. You have no excuse. You must have a choice.
Right. Thank you very much, Mr. Epson, for talking to us.